Welcome to the Haney Biz Project with Mark Haney. Mark is a serial investorpreneur and the chief dreaming officer of the Haney Biz Companies. He's working tirelessly to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution and share the inspiring stories of the region's most influential leaders. Coming to you from the Marquee Media Studio, here's Mark Haney.
Welcome to the Haney Biz Project. I'm Mark Haney, and we are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in our hometown of Sacramento. And you know, as entrepreneurs, it is not always easy. Sometimes it's those humbling moments that really wake us up a little bit. They shift our mindset. Occasionally, they even make us decide to lead, to be the leader that we'd like to be. And you know, this morning, Marcus, you know, I'm getting ready to go to work and come in and. My wife gets up early, surprises me. Your mom gets up early and walks in on me, and I'm kind of looking at myself in the mirror, admiring myself.
Flex zone.
And flexing, and I say, hey, are you still going to love me, you know, when I'm old and bald and fat? And she looks at me and she says, I do. And I'm like, oh, thank you. A humbling moment. I recovered. I am here on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution. But that's about telling stories, right? We are storytellers. We tell the stories of winning, the stories that are not always easy to achieve, but by the time you get to the Haney Biz Project, you have a story, right? So we're going to have some of those stories today. Marcus, talk to me about a time when you were humbled and you learned a lesson.
Gosh, as a name one, huh?
One time.
Well, you know, that takes me back to my sophomore year in high school. I was playing high school football. And, you know, I'd always been a pretty decent athlete.
You were pretty.
Pretty, yeah, exactly. Led, you know, my Pop Warner team to state championship and stuff like that. Sophomore year, I wasn't a very big guy playing defensive back, so I was playing strong safety. Anyway, before we had pads on, I was really, you know, not put into that position of a starting role that I usually like to. So, you know, I had an opportunity to either go complain to the coach and say, hey, coach, poor me, I'm not getting enough playing time. Or, you know, I said, wait till we get pads on, and once we start hitting, we'll decide who's on the starting lineup. So waited until the season to start and ended up earning that starting position.
The moral of the story is do not be a crybaby.
Hey, absolutely, right?
I love it. We're going to be talking about how we achieve today and thinking about some other humbling moments. You know, I'm out in the city of Sacramento, and I had a marquee media moment. I had somebody from the city of Sacramento come up to me and say, hey, Mark, how you doing? And I said, hey, you did not ask me to speak at BizX this year, Lori. What happened? And she's like, Mark, I got to tell you, the whole city of Sacramento is tired of looking at you because you're on the billboards every week, so you did not get invited back. And all I could think to myself was, thank you, Marquee Media. But today we are going to tell the stories. It's not necessarily going to be my story. It's the story of winning. Stories from some of the most successful people here in Sacramento. Later in the show, we're going to meet Matt French. He is the Del Oro High School baseball coach, but he is also a successful business guy. Later in the show, we are going to also meet Chip Maxson, Sacramento's professional baseball business guru. But coming up after the break, we'll meet Dan and Shauna Wells, the power couple of Sacramento baseball equipment. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, brought to you courtesy of DSA Technologies. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Now, back to Marquee Media Studio and the Haney Biz Project with your host, Mark Haney.
All right. Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Comstocks Magazine and California Backyard. I'm Mark Haney, and today I'm joined by both Dan and Shauna Wells, the owner of Bases Loaded. How are you two doing today?
Doing very well. Thanks
Great.
For having us
yes,
again.
Yes, absolutely.
Great to be back.
Thanks.
Yes, this is round two. For those of us that don't know Dan and Shauna Wells, you guys own a baseball retailer. Dan, tell us about the business. What is Bases Loaded?
Sure. Bases Loaded was founded in 1997 as just a small little mom and pop shop. We sell baseball, softball equipment and apparel. We went online in 2011 and have never looked back and just really kind of blown it up. And we have a 30,000 square foot facility that is just for baseball enthusiasts.
Yeah.
And then sell, you know, all over the world. So.
And your business is skyrocketing, right? You have the brick and mortar, 30,000 square feet, which is a lot, but you ship your products all over the place. Am I right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Online makes up now about 60% of our business, but retail is not dead. Retail is thriving. So when you hear all the stories of bodies in the street, streets about retail's going away. It's not. Our retail and our brick and mortar has never been healthier and growing fast, and just kind of putting a good product out there for people with great employees that know how to help people and go through the right things, not trying to sell them stuff, but educate them. It's a good model.
Shauna, what was the inspiration behind Bases Loaded? How did you end up acquiring this thing?
Oh gosh, well, it's a long story, but Dan and I were in the process of buying another business, and he actually worked for an international software company that his boss owned Bases Loaded and actually wanted to sell the business. And Dan was in charge of putting together the marketing plan for that. And after he kind of ran all the numbers and said, you know, are you sure you really want to sell this? And he goes, no, I don't. This is my hobby. I love it. It's my passion, but my wife does not want to run it anymore. And so we kind of went through the numbers, and Dan comes home one day super excited and goes, guess what? I found a new project for you. And I'm like, okay, what kind of project's that? And he goes, we're going to buy a baseball store. And I'm like, what? Okay. And so the first few months of kind of doing it and talking about it, really diving in, he had nothing to do with the business except facilitating us purchasing it. And I kind of ran it, and I was just like, what am I doing? I was a little over my head at first, and I dove right in and was super excited and kind of, you know, never looked back. It's been the best decision we've ever done. It's super exciting. Love working with, you know, kids and adults and everyone in between. And it's just been a great, great experience.
And you have an athletic background. Am I right?
I don't have an athletic background. That's what's so interesting about us in the store and at first taking over the store. My sister was an athlete in the family. I was not. I'm actually was a business person. I was in the mortgage business for years, and Dan was in banking. And so both of our backgrounds was business. And that was one of the things when we purchased the store was, you know, what does your wife know about baseball? And it's like, well, she doesn't really know anything about baseball. She loves sports, but she's a business person. And so I took it on as an aspect of this is a business adventure and I'll learn from there. And at first people didn't take me serious. They'd come in and go, I want to talk to the owner. And I'm like, I am the owner. Well, where's the male owner? And I'm like, there's no male owner.
Wow, discriminate even in this day and age.
I'm just like, I'm it. You know, if you don't want to talk to me, then I don't know what to tell you. A female runs this baseball and softball store. And, you know,
our manufacturers still try to talk to me about product.
Yes.
And I'm like, she is the product expert. I'll talk to you about financing and terms and marketing, but she knows this stuff better than anybody. So they still try to come to me. It's still like this little male dominated world, and I have to correct them every time.
Well, how do you break up the responsibilities? If she's the product person and you're the marketing person and you guys are on vacation like 6 months out of the year, I mean, talk to us about how this business operates.
Sure. It operates with really good people. We have really long-standing people. We take great care of them. You know, we're still a small company, 26 employees, but, you know, we provide full health care, you know, 401k, profit sharing in the 401k, profit sharing outside of the 401k. We just really try to make sure that we're here for people, and we've put almost 15 people through college with their bachelor's degrees. And we just realized that if we take really good care of people, give them a path, even if maybe that path's not with us forever, and take care of them, that they'll take care of us and they'll take care of our customers. And that's really kind of what we've done. Our general manager's been with us for 16 years. Average employee, we're a retailer. Average employee length of time with us is 5 years.
That's incredible. I mean, you have such a great team, and it's such a great store. When you walk in, it's everything baseball, which is cool because I love baseball. And you've had this incredible growth where a lot of brick and mortar has maybe suffered in retail, but you continue to grow, and part of that's because of your online presence. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. Online is a big part of what we do. Brick and mortar is a big part of what we do too. Like year to date, for example, our brick and mortar is up 35% over last year. Online's up over 70% over last year. We're in our seventh year in excess of 40% growth year over year.
That's amazing. So I was talking at the beginning of the show, Shauna, about humbling moments, right? There's times when we are just humbled. You've had this incredible growth. You've got this great story. Humbling moments. Have there ever been any difficult times that have humbled you? And maybe there's a lesson sometimes along the way.
There's a lot of humbling moments. I just kind of spoke about that a minute ago about people coming in and kind of underestimating you and going, you know, can you do this? And, you know, there was definitely a moment in the very beginning when I was looking at him going, you know, I don't want to do this. Like, I'm in over my head. I kind of just tackled it and said, okay, I can do it. I know I can do it. But there was a moment where I was like, I don't know what you got in, you know, me into. And I think one of the interesting moments is when he did retire from the software business. I let him kind of play and do his thing for a few years. And I wasn't too proud to say I needed help. Like, I've taken it to the level that I can take it. I had it for 5-6 years on my own. Mm-hmm. And then I was, you know, I joked and said, come play baseball with me. And he goes, what do I know about baseball? And I'm like, but you can help me. Like, I'm at that moment was, if we want to take this to the next level, I need help. And so I wasn't, you know, ashamed to ask for help and mm-hmm. say, hey, I need some help. Let's take this to the next level. And that's kind of where we came together, is where you're saying I'm in charge of product and he's in charge of the business aspect, and both of our, you know, expertise kind of work together. And that's why we are where we are today, because, you know, we work well together and we have different specialties.
Yeah. Husband and wife working together. Last time I was out at your shop, you were knocking down a wall that you had your offices adjoining, but there was a wall separating you. You tore down the wall so there could be more togetherness. How's that working out for you?
Works out amazing. So you may not remember, but last month we celebrated 25 years of marriage.
Yes.
But I want to tell you my humbling moment.
Oh, good.
Sean and I dated in high school. We started dating. We were 14 years old. Wow. And when I turned 17, she dumped me.
Ouch.
Because I wanted to get married as soon as we got out of high school. Oh. And she said, I love you, but you're insane. We're not ready. So she dumped me. And we actually didn't see each other for
3 years.
3 years. The biggest humbling moment of my life.
Wow.
And luckily, I got it back.
How did you get her back?
I begged.
Hey, whenever I absolutely when all else fails, begged. Never be afraid to beg. Is that never. Actually how it happened,
it's
Shauna?
It's absolutely how it happened. It was not ready. I was just like, I don't want to get married out of high school. I don't want to have babies right away. Like,
and I knew she was the best thing that was ever going to be in my life, and there was no way I was going to let her get away.
Wow. So, okay, thinking about bases loaded, right? You've had this incredible growth. You have children. You have this 25-year legacy that you're building. What is the future looking like personally and professionally? Maybe we'll start off with Shauna.
I think personally, again, continue to do what we're doing to enjoy life. We really, really try to instill that motto of everything we do in life is how is it going to affect us personally and professionally. Our daughter just graduated high school. She's going to be 18 next week. Our son is going to be 20 in September. He's wanting to take over the business. He is going to college. He doesn't want to go to college, but we're making him go to college, and we're telling him, take these classes. If you want to do this, you have to have, you know, some background. He's our marketing and social media manager. And so our daughter, she's not sure. She wants to be a nurse. Or, you know, Dan keeps
telling
her. I
want her to be my CFO. She wants to be a nurse.
So she just started college actually last week in summer school. She's like in it right now. She's taking classes. She's taking 18 units in the fall. And so what's next is hopefully our kids maybe taking over and continuing to enjoy life and continuing to just, you know, have the business grow at a healthy level without, you know, too much interfering with, you know, your quality of life, I guess.
Yeah. Dan, secret to the happy marriage, secret to this incredible life balance that you've created for yourselves?
Sure. I think secret to the marriage is marrying the right person to start with.
Yeah.
I mean, just the clearest thing in the world and being able to compromise. Secret to the growth is having a really solid plan in place. We set out with a very well-documented plan on a solid foundation, and it was really around what do we need to do to grow? And the idea was we had to have a technology structure, we had to have policies and procedures. It's about, in our eyes, is looking at it, not where do we want to be in 6 months or 12 months, but what do we want to look like in 5 years from now?
Yeah.
People always ask, you know, did you imagine this kind of growth 5 years? And I'm like, absolutely. It was in our plan.
Mm-hmm.
And our plan was we had to act like a big company if we wanted to become a big company. And that was really kind of the foundation.
But willing to adapt along the way, because a plan is a plan to set out, but that doesn't mean they can't deviate from that because things happen. So you have to be willing to...
Every day.
Yes. You
be agile, right?
Absolutely. In the world of just business in general, you can't be stagnant. You have to be constantly thinking about what is that next thing? What is going to be, you know, the changing factor? Right now we're talking about, we're on Facebook Live. That social media is a huge piece of just business in general. And if you, again, continue to just kind of stay stagnant, not change the way you do business, you will get left behind.
Yeah. Make a plan, be agile. You know, my wife and I have been married 33 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah, incredible. People say, Mark, what's the secret? And my wife and I came up with something 33 years ago where I would make all the big decisions and she would make all the little decisions. And you know what? After 33 years, years, there's been no big decisions. It's been, so it works out for us. She is the CEO of the Home Life. I take it into the office and handle my business. I want to thank you both for coming up on the show again. Congratulations on your success, on the success of your family and the success of Bases Loaded.
Thank you, Mark. Great seeing you again.
Coming up after the break, we're going to meet Chip Maxson, Sacramento's professional baseball guru, the Sacramento Rivercats man. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, brought to you courtesy of Audi Rockland and DCA Capital. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Marquee Media Studio with Mark Haney, igniting the entrepreneurial revolution with the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Hub International and Legion AVS. I'm Mark Haney, and I'm joined by Chip Maxson, the general manager of the Sacramento Rivercats. How you doing, Chip?
Mark, I'm doing fantastic, buddy. Great to be back.
Thank you for joining us again today. We want to catch up on all things Rivercats, all things baseball, but hopefully take away some business advice today. Talk to us about what's happening right now with the Rivercats.
Hey, it's great. Jeff Samardzija, he's in town. He'll be throwing for us tonight. Nice. So we're excited to see him in his rehab process. And then hopefully if all goes well, we'll see Johnny Cueto this weekend, potentially on Saturday night. So big weekend rehab session at Raleigh Field.
Well, what happens when one of these players, I know Pence has come back and rehabbed, and these guys, these pitchers coming back and rehabbing. What is the experience like in the stadium when you get the big time guys coming in and throwing or hitting the ball?
It's fantastic. These guys, you know, a couple weeks ago, Madison Bumgarner came through. These guys all came through the minor leagues. They know the day-to-day struggles, challenges, what our players are going through. So there's a little less stress in the rehab process. So I think they enjoy it, you know, and they enjoy being back around the minor league guys and the clubhouse feel when these guys are scratching and clawing to make their way up. So and our fans love it because with that different environment, the guys want to give back. Bumgarner was signing some autographs, tipping his hat to people. Pence is a fan favorite. He always signs autographs. Great human being. And so hoping the same, Samardzija, he's already planning a good meal to buy our players after the game.
Awesome.
So they take care of our fans, but they also take care of the players too.
Well, I wonder about this. So if I'm a Pence, obviously if I'm hitting or playing defense, you know, you're gonna put it all out on the line, regardless of whether you're playing for the Giants or the Rivercats. But if I'm a pitcher, right, I got to protect my arm on my rehab. Mm-hmm. Do these guys come out with 100% intensity, or are they dialing it down to 90%?
Mark, what I love, and we'll probably hear about it when we hear from the Del Oro kids, but athletes are athletes. You can't take that out of them. And they've got this competitive desire. And so it was so funny with Bumgarner. He was supposed to throw 45 pitches. And they said, go ahead. If he's in the middle of an at-bat, let him finish the at-bat. And so I think he had an out. He hit 45 pitches in the middle of an at-bat. He struck the kid out at 47 pitches. Our coach went to pull him, and he was like, no, I can finish the inning. And they had his mini argument on the mound, even though, you know, coming from the top, Bobby Evans and Sabian were like, 45 pitches, that's it. You know, we've got to bring him along slowly. But it's that desire, that competitive nature in all these athletes that they don't necessarily want to come out when they're supposed to. Yeah. So I love that. It's one of the great things about sports.
So Rivercats baseball is alive and well. Talk to us about Raleigh Field, the difference between Raleigh's and the other minor league ballparks around the country.
Yeah, I'm absolutely blessed. I've been able to work for five different minor league baseball teams throughout the country, Midwest guy. Spent 5 years Texas and Tennessee, 5 years up in Tacoma, Washington, and now down here in Sacramento. And it all starts with the fans. And it sounds cliche, but I've been to other ballparks where the community doesn't support the teams like the Sacramento region supports the Rivercats. And in the end, that's what makes us so successful. But that also, it's what drives us to try and give back so much and try and, as Raleigh Field continues to evolve, evolving around our fans and the experience that they want when they come out to the ballpark. So I love it. It makes my job easy. And you know, the baseball fan, that part of me, I end up smiling to you when I see happy families come out to ball games.
Yeah. Well, you guys support the community so much. I mean, you helped us with our Haney Biz Masters golf tournament, but you are everywhere out there with Dinger, getting involved in the community. What inspired that? Where did that come from?
It started from day one with Susan and Art Savage. And when they were talking about bringing the team here to Sacramento, they wanted to make sure they constantly gave back to the community. And so before they even built Raleigh Field, they started the River Cats Foundation. That was the goal, to give back, whether it's arts and entertainment, whether it's school programs or youth programs for the kids of the Sacramento region. Each year we want to make sure that's a goal, and we have our foundation board that meets and says, hey, what are some of these programs we're going to give back to this year, and what ways can we be involved? And if we can't give back financially, what are ways, like you mentioned, through Dinger or tickets or free school programs that we do? Let's go get involved and let's use our platform to make a difference.
Yeah. Well, Dan Wells earlier, the guest prior, talked about his team, right? Yeah. His team was so integral in the success of Bases Loaded. Talk to us about what you've done with the team over there at the River Cats.
Oh, it's all about the team. And you know, I loved hearing the Bases Loaded approach to the family that works there and taking care of the employees. And we try and mirror some of that on whether it's the healthcare side, paying for all the healthcare for our employees, whether it's education and leadership, which is it's so important these days, because how are you going to stand out? How are you going to be different? How are you going to develop the appropriate culture within? And so that's the approach that we try and take, is if you've got a good culture, it's going to manage a whole lot better than I can ever do. It's going to manage better than you can do. And so that's a big focus of ours. And it starts with taking care of those employees so they know that you value them. Earning their trust is so important, because if they feel valued and secured, they're going to run through a brick wall. They're going to get behind the mission and push it forward.
How do you create that culture? So I wonder, does that start with you? Does that start with Savages? Or does that start with the team getting together and deciding what that culture is?
That's what I'm here to learn. You're supposed to help me.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you that it starts with the mission statement, over-communicating the mission, rallying around the vision. I mean, but sometimes that's not easy to do. I've had some humbling moments in my time where I've sort of looked in the mirror and realized I'm not leading like I need to, right? I'm not stepping out and leading. But humbling moments, you know, I'm the first to talk about my humbling moments. Have you ever had a humbling moment there at the River Cats? Lay it on us, big guy.
You know, I go back to, there's probably a couple kind of marquee moments in my life that I look back on it. And one was when I was playing college baseball, and I was a captain of the team. I had some leadership qualities, and my teammates saw that in me. But when I sat down in front of my coach, and I was playing pretty well, middle infielder, and my coach just honestly said, hey, I don't know if you have what it takes to play at this level. And that hit me hard. For the first time in my life, somebody, you know, a coach didn't view me as successful. And so that was kind of a wake-up call. And at the same time, I was asked to lead Fellowship of Christian Athletes at our college. And I was doubting myself. Okay, wait a minute. If I don't have what it takes, how am I going to go lead others? But at the same time, I got a good team around me for Fellowship of Christian Athletes. We ended up growing that, doing a lot to support our college and the other students there. And I saw significant growth. People rallied and started coming out. And it clicked in my mind that maybe if it's all about me on the baseball team, I don't have as big of an influence as I do when I have a good team around me and what I can do off the field. And so it kind of was that paradigm shift in my mind of the impact of leadership. And so I've tried to take that forward and thinking, hey, if it's not about me, if it's not about my performance, what ways can I help other people improve their performance? And so that was incredibly humbling, but a great experience back in college. Now, as I move forward and with the River Cats, I remember early on when I came, I thought my resume, I was proud of my resume. Okay. You'll see some things here, my pride and humbling. And I was proud of my resume, and I expected people to just get behind me because of some of the skins on the wall that I'd done with other teams. But it doesn't work that way. People want to make sure that you're going to value them. You've got to earn their trust. And so there were some early days when people didn't want to necessarily get behind what I had. And I realized I've got to get down. I've got to get...
Your staff didn't want to rally around what you were trying to accomplish with the River Cats.
Yeah, Dan and Shauna talked about a great business plan. I thought I had a great business plan put together. I would go show that. I would point back to accomplishments I would have. But the staff needed to see me work alongside them. They need to see that plan in action. And I realized I had to earn their trust. And so whether it's going on meetings with our ticket sales reps, whether it's sitting with our marketing folks and writing out the plan and listening to their ideas to get their buy-in, I realized those were the things I need to get back to the basics of business and leadership. And once I was able to do that, once I was humbled, started working with those folks and trusting my team, that's when we were able to finally start moving that culture in the right direction.
Yeah. Well, thinking about when you were a player and your coach doubted you, why did he doubt you? because it seems to me that in entrepreneurship, in many ways, you know, it's we're going to have people that doubt us, and sometimes that causes us to break our confidence, right? We don't do as well. We don't do as well at the plate. We don't do as well maybe even in the field. We've got to have confidence, but if you have a coach, you can't get rid of your coach, right? In entrepreneurship, you can get rid of your doubters. Yeah. You can eliminate them from your life, but as a player and you have your coach or your boss, I mean, you can't ditch the boss.
No. Again, it was a great wake-up call too. And to be honest, back to my competitive makeup, I'm a competitive guy, youngest of three boys, had to fight for everything growing up. Always was a little shorter, a little smaller, a little slower than everybody else. So it also just fueled my fire to work harder. And so that was my thought is, hey, I'm going to prove to him that I do belong here, that I can compete at this level because I had done it the prior 2 years. Why couldn't I keep doing it? So it just made me double down on my efforts and get back to my own basics of making myself better as an athlete at that time.
Thinking about Sacramento, the Rivercats are an important piece of the Sacramento entrepreneurial community, of the Sacramento business culture. What's your view for the next several years in Sacramento? You're at the heart of it.
Yeah, it's great. We've got great partners like Raley's that we continue to have conversations with saying, hey, what can we do to enhance the experience here at the ballpark? So it's not just about the Rivercats, but some of these great partners. And as we look at the landscape, we look at what people are expecting out of a sports or entertainment experience. You know, we want to continue to provide, whether it's social spaces for people to just hang out, our brand new Knee Deep Alley this year become a hot spot. Their new Sac Fly PA, you'll see some resemblance in with that beer to Raley Field. So it's that unique, tying back into the community and the local feel, those social spaces at the ballpark that people want to rally around. We just did a farm to fork fundraiser for Raley's where it was a tailgate in the parking lot and proceeds will go back to their foundation. So things that people want to get behind, and it's not forgetting who we are as Sacramento.
Yeah. Well, Chip, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I want to thank you and your organization for what you do for our community. Going out to Raley's to Raley Field is a blast. I've made business connections out there, hanging out in the lounge, hanging out in one of the suites, or just behind home plate watching a ball game. It is the place to be in Sacramento. When we return, I will be joined by Matt French, a man who has brought his business expertise to high school baseball. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of Chicago Fire and Apex Appraisal Services. This is the Haney Biz Project.
And now, back to the Haney Biz Project with investorpreneur Mark Haney, coming to you from the Marquee Media Studio.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of DSA Technologies and California Growth Advisors. I'm Mark Haney, and today I have the privilege of bringing on Matt French. He's the head coach of Del Oro Baseball. How you doing, Matt?
Oh, can't get much better. Look where we are right now.
It's a great
group today, and thanks for having us.
Well, you had a great season. I want to talk about that, but I also want to profile you, Matt French. You are a business guy that has had a tremendous amount of success, but you found a way to bring that to baseball, to the sport that you love. Talk to us about your background in business.
I think for me, I wouldn't say I'm a business guy. I say I'm a competitor.
Okay.
And, you know, my whole life, I've never been the fastest, never been the strongest, never been the smartest. But what I did have is I worked harder than most people.
Yeah.
You know, just being humble and making sure you're asking other people questions, finding mentors. And I headed down the path in software and worked for a number of software companies. And the last one was a company called ServiceNow that went public back in 2011. Did that for 9 years and started when I was with the company. It was at $800,000. When I left, it was a $2 billion company and the second fastest growing, or the second company to hit $1 billion in the cloud space behind Salesforce.
Wow. So tremendous ride with that company. But you talked about humility, right? And that you had that as a kid. You got to work harder than everybody else. Where did that come from? Did that come from sports? Did that come from maybe your parents? How did you develop this, demeanor?
It definitely started with my dad.
Okay.
And obviously my mom was there too, but my dad was the guy that said, every day you woke up, do something better than you've ever done before.
Do something better than you've ever done before. Like
that's
on a daily basis.
On a daily
do
basis.
Do something today that's better than you've ever done before.
Find that one thing, that one small thing, whether it's making your bed every morning or
do
find that
better.
One thing you're going to do better that day.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah. Now, are you still living by that today?
I am. I'm a little psychotic, but I'm living
okay,
by
what
it
did
today.
You get back? All right, so what are you better at today than you were yesterday?
I'm looking to have my best interview yet.
Atta, baby. Right. I love it. Let's tear it up. I'm looking to make this my best show. So far, we're on a roll. Don't let me down now. So let's keep this rolling. Okay, so thinking about this, you have this success in business, but you, as a child, as a young person, you were an athlete as well.
I was, yes.
And so talk to us about your athletic career and then how it led into the business career.
Well, I mean, I was lucky. I have an older brother who is highly competitive as well. So wiffle ball in the front yard and soccer and football, you name it. We did it every day against, you know, I did it every day against older kids. And that competitive drive, I think, just took me through who I became today is just compete every day. And, you know, from a humbling standpoint, my whole feeling about being humble is if you're not putting yourself out there and taking risks, then you won't be humbled.
Yeah.
And so I feel like almost on a regular basis, I am getting humbled.
Was there one moment where you had a setback where somebody doubted you or didn't believe in you or you quit believing in yourself?
Yeah, I think when I was a junior, I had transferred from Kennedy High School up to Del Oro and went out for the football team. And I've started in everything I've played my entire life and was found that I was second or third on the depth chart as a defensive back. And you know, I had sleepless nights. I mean, it's crazy what your head can do to you.
We take it so seriously because it is a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big part of me. It's who I am. I'm a starter. And all of a sudden, I'm not. So you know, you just buckle down and figure out why am I not a starter? Talk to the coaches. What do I need to do better to become a better athlete, become a better individual that you can put on the field and trust? And you start working on those things.
Yeah. Well, then you went on to play. When did you really develop your understanding of the game of baseball?
I would actually say it was, I'm lucky. I played for Jerry Weinstein and Paul Carmazzi at Sacramento City College. And those two coaches, you know, they were kind of good cop, bad cop, but they were just the amount of knowledge that those two individuals had of the game of baseball is what taught me. And I think what's really cool about that whole Sac City program back in the 90s and even before that, and it's doing well today, but you look at the tentacles that Jerry Weinstein has throughout baseball. And you know, now he's the head of player development for the Rockies. But even more importantly, we played Del Campo in the playoffs. They had four coaches on Del Campo that all played at Sac City.
Wow.
I've got three guys on my staff that played at Sac City.
Incredible.
It's just this crazy environment.
I have a guy coming on the show next week that played at Sac City. Now he owns a dry cleaning company in town.
That's right.
It's incredible. I agree with you, though. Is Sac City still the hotbed of community college baseball or junior college baseball? Is it what it was back in the day?
Sullivan's doing a great job, the head coach there. I do think there's a lot more parity. You've got Sierra College, Folsom Lake College. It's doing an outstanding job. You have Delta College. I mean, Northern California baseball, when it comes to junior college, is absolutely outstanding.
Okay, so thinking about now, you have this successful business career. Did you retire after 2011 and then just kick it around until you started coaching at Del Oro? Or what did you do after you left the company that went public?
Well, let me ask you, have you ever retired?
No, not really.
I don't think there's any such thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you can't quit.
That's
either
right.
You're either on or you're off, and it's hard to turn it off. If you're not growing, you're dying. That's how I look at it.
I did. I took 2 weeks off and was trying to figure out who am I and freaked out.
Yeah.
I knew that I wanted to be involved in baseball, but I also realized that through my career in software, I learned so much that I needed to give that back. It was one. So I started advising a handful of high growth cloud companies. So I'm still doing that today. I knew I wanted to give back to the community. So even you know, going back a year before I left ServiceNow, I started writing my list of big ideas. Like, how am I going to change the world? How am I going to make a dent in the universe? And one of those is I need to give back to the community and help the youth. And I always felt that at my core of who I am, I'm a competitor and I know baseball better than most. And so I knew that that was an avenue I wanted to head down. But we did some cool programs. We brought some software development trainers into Placer Elementary School, which is a school where my son goes to, and did a training for kids just to kind of expose them to new programs. But just feeling things out, trying to figure out what's next. I don't think anybody retires. If you retire, then your motor's not running like most people.
So now you're consulting, you're helping others in the business world, but you've taken that expertise to Del Oro. Talk to us about the Del Oro baseball team.
I'll start. I'm going to expand it a little bit. First of all, Del Oro is a lot of great schools in the area, but Del Oro to me is, it's where I went. I graduated from Del Oro. I had an amazing experience there from the coaching staff to the administrators. Always just helped train kids to believe, taking them further than they ever thought they could. But you look at the sports program and the concept behind Del Oro and their push, I think they have, it's like 70% of the student body is an athlete. They participate in sports. And it's not so much about playing that sport, it's about being engaged in a program and having passion about something. And so I think that's where I feel extremely lucky to have this opportunity to be part of the Del Oro baseball program, because there's just so much support from the community. And again, it's not about being the best at sport, it's about being engaged. And so I reap the benefits because we have great kids that just want to work hard, that want to be on the field, want to be teammates, want to support each other, and just want to give themselves, give 100% every time they're out there.
What kind of season did you guys have?
We had a very interesting season. So we started started off 2-9, which, talk about a humbling experience. Your first year as a head coach and your team's 2-9. There's something wrong. It's got to be the coach. But at the same time, we had a very challenging schedule. In fact, if you're to look at Max Preps, we've got one of the most challenging schedules in all of California, if you look at the stats on it. From there, we ended up ripping off 9 in a row in league. We won 9 wow. games in a row. We finished the season. We ended up going into the San Joaquin sections, the playoffs, and entered into the loser's bracket. Finished off in the championship round, beating Del Campo in game one. So yeah. Now we're all even. Great There's game. No winner, no loser's bracket. And unfortunately, we just fell short in the last game. But hats off to Del Campo. That's just a great, great program as well.
Well, I took my grandson out to watch that game to inspire him. And, you know, he loves baseball. He's only 5 years old. But, you know, he loved being out there, seeing the men out there playing. But thinking about building a team, there's sometimes when there's teams that rally around one or two great players. And there's other times when the team relies more on chemistry. Describe your team.
Chemistry, 100%. In fact, there's this one word we use, and it's gritty. And that's just never giving up, giving everything you have. But, you know, there's one thing that I've always felt at the beginning when you come in and start working on a program. And Jeff Dietrich, who was the previous coach, did an amazing job with the program. So he handed off in a really great state. One thing that I've always felt is that when you come to high school sports, it is about having those kids be passionate about the game and about each other. And so there's just some basic rules that we have. If you come watch our game, I think you'll see things a little bit different out of Del Oro than most other programs. One is, after the inning's over, you put the baseball on the mound, right on the rubber. The second one is, as those players are coming, everybody, even the coaches, have to run out of the dugout. Mm-hmm. And it's all about just kind of creating that team chemistry. You look at also how we run our infield, outfield before games, the pregame routine, is that we all end on the mound together. We don't come off one by one, throwing the ball to home plate and run off the field, because in my mind, baseball is a team sport. And especially in high school, if you're going to get the most out of the kids, they all have to buy into it and they have to support each other. And I mean, there's definitely days, maybe like a quarter of the time, you sit there and you can just feel there's no passion. It just doesn't exist. And what happens? It's just a really difficult few innings, but something sparks the kids. They get going. They feed off each other. And I mean, you watch the College World Series last night with the Oregon State. They end up scoring, what, 5 runs in the 7th inning. And it's momentum. Mm-hmm. And it's kids buying into each other and supporting each other.
Well, thinking about that, right, you've had a successful business career. You were an athlete. And a lot of these young men are not going to go on and play Major League Baseball, maybe not even make it to college or the River Cats. But you know what? They're going to be successful because of the things that they learn in high school sports. Talk to us about the parallels between high school sports and what happens in the real world in business.
Well, first of all, dream. You know, go for it. If you want to be a professional athlete, do it. Figure out how to get there. Have goals in mind. And like Shauna talked about earlier, sometimes you have to shift gears and change things up and continue to reset your goals. And that's one thing we work on a lot, is setting goals, but making them realistic. So like, I can achieve them. Once I achieve them, reset them. Keep resetting them. Keep reevaluating them.
In high school sports, and maybe less in high school, but more in the youth sports, you're seeing helicopter parents where they're really try to be involved with what's happening on the field. Instead of just being supportive, they're trying to be active. How is that happening, or how do you deal with that at Del Oro?
Well, I would be lying if I said it didn't exist. But you also have to remember that there's passion coming from those parents for a reason. And if you can help channel that, one thing that I've learned, again, I'm really new at coaching, so is just be over-communicative. A lot of people put guardrails up and say, I won't talk to the parents. I'll talk to anybody. And I think part of it is just making sure that the parents understand the situation with the player. But most importantly, making sure the player understands, so that when they go back and talk to their parents at home, they can clearly communicate where they fit on the field and what their role is. And that role is expected to change. It might be a reduction in play time. It might be an increase in playing time. I hope it's an increase. But I do think that the communication aspect is so huge when it comes to working with the players and working with the parents and working with administrators. It's just making sure that everybody's clear about it. And I don't always do it perfectly, but I try.
Yeah, I like that. Over-communicate, and it helps so much. But you mentioned that after exiting this software company, what am I going to do with my life? I had that same thing. I thought about being a high school football coach. That was my that sounded so fun, because when you put yourself in charge of baseball at Del Oro, or football at Del Oro, or any high school, you really have the chance to shape the whole program going down to the 5-year-olds, right? So talk to us about, and you talked about that a little bit with your son at Placer Elementary, bringing in the young people, the little league, if you will, all the way up to the varsity players. How do you bring them all in to rally around the organization? innovation?
Yeah, I think, well, when I first started off, one of my big ideas was to help enable the community through baseball. And I originally started working with Jeff Dietrich 2 years ago as an assistant. So I helped out with Delaware High School. I also was on the board for Golden Eagle Pony, which is our local pony program. And the idea is really to start to integrate them a little bit more, bring in some of the learnings that we have in the high school level and deliver that and help the kids and the youth and the program and the coaches too. So today I'm obviously the head coach of Delaware, but I'm also a VP on the board at Golden Eagle Pony. And it's just really about trying to create the consistency. To give you an example, prior to my coming on with Del Oro, the summer program that we have an 18U and a 16U program, which is not affiliated with Del Oro. It can't be. But that is those Del Oro High School kids that play in the 16 and 18U. It is now part of Golden Eagle Pony. So not only do we have for Golden Eagle Pony and Loomis, it goes from, you know, your four-year-olds all the way up to your 18-year-olds. And we even have some kids that are looking to play that were seniors this year that are moving on and going to play in Division I and some JC programs will come and get at bats on the 18U team. So just trying to open it up a little bit and just try to connect the programs. The other thing we're doing too is that if you go out on opening day at Golden Eagle Pony, you're going to see the Del Oro baseball players there in full uniform, giving high fives, hanging out with Dinger from the River Cats. We also tried to institute a black and gold game, which was on the same day as opening day, where all the kids from Golden Eagle would come watch the inter-squad game. Well, we try to tout a little bit more inter-squad, but of the high school program.
Now, is that out at Allegiant Field?
It is at Allegiant Field.
I love it.
Plug,
I got to get a plug in for our charitable organization, Allegiant Field. Matt, I want to thank you for coming on the show today, for what you're doing in our community and for sharing your words of wisdom. I think high school sports is so good for young people today. I think it helps us so much in launching our careers and giving us that confidence that we need to succeed in life. So thank you again. When we return, I'll share some takeaways with Marcus, a little story about one of my humbling moments from high school sports. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of Ethan Conrad Properties and financial advisors, Stifel Financial. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Marquee Media Studio for Mark's takeaways from today's Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Silver's HR, Five Star Bank. I'm Mark Haney, and I am back with Marcus Haney. Marcus, takeaways, closing thoughts.
All baseball today gets me fired up to hear about, you know, the Golden Eagles folks creating a plan all the way to get some players all the way up to the River Cats. Hopefully my son will be there one day.
A couple of you guys mentioned football, too, and how you were just working to get the starting spot.
That's it.
Sports is one of those things, I think, that we have these life lessons. Sometimes it's about persevering so we can get the starting spot. Something as simple as not getting a starting spot can be so educational. It can toughen you up. And, you know, thinking back to my high school days, I played 4 years of high school football, never did anything after that except coach. But I did learn some things. I learned a lot from my coaches. And I remember my freshman year, we had an okay team. We were 1-3, which sounds like we weren't a very good team. And Mr. Poole, who was a great coach, he held us before practice on Friday morning. We played our games on Thursday nights. And coach said, "Hey, guys, you're 1-3. I want you to think about whether you even want to play football anymore. You guys have not been stepping up. You haven't been working together as a team, and I think you should take today off, go think about it over the weekend, and decide whether you even want to play football or not." And I think we all looked at each other and thought, wow, coach is upset. And I decided to come out of my shell, and I said, "Coach, where I come from, in order to get better as a team, we've got to practice. So I think we ought to get out there and practice today." He looked at me, and he gave me this sneer, and he said, "Okay, Haney. All right, guys, everybody go line up on the 40. And coach began to make us run wind sprints for the entire practice. "On me, down," said hike. And every wind sprint was followed by, "Yeah, that one's for Haney," right? Every wind sprint was because I, Mark Haney, had said that we needed to practice. So we were going to practice. We were. Wind sprints were being done. And after about 15 or 20 minutes of wind sprints, we had guys puking, a couple of guys laying on the ground, and coach just kept making us run. And I think he was looking for someone to step up and lead. And I thought to myself, maybe that person is me. I was the quarterback. quarterback after all. Maybe I should be leading. So I stepped up and I sort of grabbed the mic, if you will, and I started calling out the cadence. Okay, guys, on me. Ready, down. Said hike. And in between each wind sprint, I stalled it out a little bit, right? I gave some motivational talk about how we should come together as a team and that Coach Poole's not going to be able to turn ourselves against one another. And we kept running sprints for probably another 20, 30 minutes. Finally, I think the coaches got tired of seeing this happen. But you know what? Not only did we run sprints, we got in a little bit better shape that day, but we came together as a team. Coach Poole, although we may have resented him at the time, looking back now, I know that he was just trying to toughen us up. He was looking for people to step up and lead. We ended up winning the next four games, and we never were a great football team, but we learned a lot that day. We learned a lot that season that we never quit. And in order to win, we need to come together as a team. And so thinking about entrepreneurship, you know, there's nobody out there to protect you in the world of entrepreneurship. There's no way. You can't call your mommy out there to help you on the football field or in entrepreneurship. We've got to figure out a way to seize our own opportunities because nobody's going to do it for us. So I want to thank the guests for coming out today, and just a sacramental salute to all those fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship, those fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life, to the 13 stripes and to the 50 stars, and to that one big opportunity that's always worth fighting for, yours. Never above you, never below you.
Always by your side.